If it's locally owned,
it's Copper Road.
Organically grown,
it's Copper Road.
Your heart will warm,
it's Copper Road.
Got that hometown charm,
it's Copper Road.
Keeping things going now with Conversations with the Mayor is presented by the Chamber for a Greater Chapel Hill Carborough. Coming up on May 17th, just a little bit more than a month from now, they're going to be honoring the very best in business at the B's, the Business Excellence Awards. Join them for a dazzling red carpet awards ceremony, entertainment, and a dessert reception. You can get your tickets online at carolinachamber.org. And get more information on the town of Carborough at townofcarborough.org. And Mayor Lydia Lavelle joins us here in the studio now. How are you?
Good. I'm here on Feel Free Thursday.
Yes, Feel Free Thursday. Every day is Feel Free, right? Exactly.
Right.
So the Board of Aldermen had a meeting a couple of days ago with a number of different items on the agenda. What was discussed?
We did. So one of the items I wanted to be sure to talk about was the matter of the construction of the facility that IFC is going to be undertaking this spring. And so, you know, of course, right now there's an existing building on Main Street, and it's going to come down sometime soon. And then when the construction begins on the new project, which the board approved a couple of years ago, the folks who are responsible for the construction actually came to the meeting on Tuesday night and talked to us about this because we wanted to have a discussion with them. It will involve a couple of nights, I think they said five different nights, when there will be big cement trucks coming in and kind of laying down cement and making a lot of loud noise, and with the trucks backing up, the beeping sounds and so on. And then I think for three of those five nights, after maybe 2 or 3 hours of noise, there will be additional noise as they kind of continue to work on what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were trying to figure out what time of night would be the best time to have this come in. DOT does not want us to close down Main Street kind of during the major hours of the
right.
day. And so we had a lot of discussion around whether we felt, do we think it would be a bigger impact on people in that area that are trying to sleep or relax at home, whether it would be a bigger impact on them if this occurred like from 9 to midnight or starting like from 3 to 6 in the morning, which is what had been proposed and what we have done with some other projects in town. And so we ended up deciding that for the first occasion, these folks will be coming in doing this construction in the morning, like from 3 to 6. We're going to see how it goes, see if we get a lot of complaints. But one thing we really want to do is kind of put out the word to the community that this is, you know, kind of what happens when you live near downtown and when you have growth, which is a, you know, good thing, having buildings built. And then to kind of prepare for that, right, to get, you know, earplugs or if you're extra sensitive, figure out some other way to kind of keep down the sound in your house. And again, it'll be five different nights, but they'll be spread out also.
Okay.
It'll be like, they'll be weeks apart, each of them. So these nights that will be extra loud in town, are a necessary part of being able to have the building constructed.
Do we know roughly when those nights are going to be?
My sense is that the first one will happen before we go on summer break.
Okay.
So we go on summer break at the end of June. So perhaps late May or June, because one thing we asked the manager to do was to kind of evaluate the response after the first event and then decide whether to adjust the hour accordingly. But
so
then,
the board can still have a meeting and make changes if need be?
Well, we wouldn't necessarily have a meeting, but we gave the authority to the manager
to
touch base with us individually or decide what to do. But, you know, I mean, it was really just kind of, honestly, Aaron, it's just kind of guesswork, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, which is worse, from 3 to 6 or from 9 to 12, you know? And, I mean, my dad used to go to bed by 9, right?
So I was going to say, it probably varies from person to person, right?
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So you know, and also, you know, we think of our town as kind of slowing down, you know, in the early evening. But, I mean, we do have a fair bit of traffic in the, you know, even after 9 in the summertime. So who knows? But it's going to be really important to get the word out so that people are kind of aware of this, because, you know, it would be rather alarming to hear a bunch of noise in the middle of the night and then, you know, not know what it was.
How many people live near there? Because that is right downtown. I don't imagine there's a lot of housing.
It's right downtown. We had special concerns about anyone that lived around, say, Club Nova. There's apartments behind Club Nova. They're not associated. They used to be part of Club Nova. Now I believe CASA runs them. So there might be some folks behind Club Nova that we want to make sure know what's going on. And, of course, across the street there too, you know, back behind that area, back behind Wendy's, there are some apartments. And then if you go back a little further, there are several houses back in there. Mm-hmm. And as folks said, I mean, you know, noise also travels in the evening. So, you know, it could go as far as maybe over to Maple and then maybe back even to Oak and Pine and some of those other ones back there. So,
speaking with Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle, townofcarborough.org for more information on that or other town government events and happenings and issues to follow. Another thing that the board talked about on Tuesday night was a little bit further away from downtown, but a really cool initiative that's been talked about for a while, flex zoning at the intersection of Old 86 and Eubanks. Is that right?
Yes. And so we approved this flex concept a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Omar Zinn came to us at our request. Like, we identified several properties in town that might be good locations to have a different kind of zoning. And this was one. We had a series of charrettes with the Durham area designers. And this ended up being one where we actually rezoned it to this flex zoning. And what it really means is the process, while still transparent, while still getting a lot of public input, is supposed to be a little more streamlined and a little more definitive kind of at the outset as to what we might end up at the end, but along the way it can still be kind of be tweaked around some big broad parameters that we kind of put into the flex zone. I hope that's kind of clear. But it is a different way than we're used to reviewing projects. And so, like, what's happening is we're kind of at the very beginning of this process. And so, you know, the design that Omar and his team have come up with is kind of fairly nebulous. You know, like, we want to put the mixed use here, we want to put the residential here, we're thinking that we'll put this here, this there. It doesn't require the specificity of a drawing, for example, you might need at the very front end of a CUP or something. And so, you know, a lot of the feedback we got from our advisory boards over the last week dealt with specifics that aren't even on the plan yet. We're not to that point in the plan yet, or that actually are already covered as part of the flex zone. And so it's a little different way of doing things. I think as Omar drills down a little more into more definitively how it's going to be laid out, and as the advisory boards understand more how the flex already covers a lot of the concerns that are in there, I think that then we'll be able to hone in on, okay, well, here's some other things we'd really like to see. But I think everyone is pretty excited to see something moving forward up here on this tract. We have a group of folks who live up in the area that are on our Northern Transition Area Advisory Board. They expressed a lot of concern about a lot of different areas of the ordinance that we have heard from before, and we're going to continue to address again because, like they, we want to make sure we still preserve the rural character of the look of the development. We don't want it too imposing. We want to address traffic concerns. We want to find ways to connect with the greenway.
Mm.
So there's a certain sensitivity to the feel of the place out there. And so we're listening carefully to folks from that area. And in fact, our next public engagement session, we asked the town to have that up in that area somewhere, either at Morris Grove or the fire department or somewhere where it made it a little more accessible for people to live up in that area.
Yeah, and kind of the draw of that area, right, is just the rural character of it, just like a little bit out of town.
It really is. And, you know, it's Eubanks is an interesting road, right?
Yeah.
You go the other end and you got Caraway Village and you have the animal services and you have, you know, the of course the old recycling, the newly renovated recycling area. But at our end, at the other end by Morris Grove, is really Morris Grove and this.
And it
abuts Duke Forest. There were some good comments from folks in the audience to make certain that we're taking into account any extra special wetlands or any kind of environmental considerations that may be unique to that piece of property, as we do in this area. We always kind of make sure we assess all the environmental nature of what we're doing. But, you know, good feedback and, you know, kind of exciting to think about having some type of a destination there. You know, Omar talked about having some kind of destination like a, you know, coffee shop, maybe a place like a Johnny's or that kind of a place where people can ride their bikes and, mm-hmm. and go up there. The greenway is going to lead up there. Just be nice to have something on that end of town.
That'd be a gorgeous place to have something like that.
It'd be awesome. It'd be a great, because the other thing is, Aram, the greenway, the Morris Grove Greenway, leads up to the school,
right,
which is across the street from that. That was another item we talked about Tuesday night, was the Jones Creek Greenway, which that's going to connect up. It's a very short segment that needs to be built between Lake Hogan Farms and the start of the Morris Grove Greenway, but We also heard from lots of folks, either by way of stopping by a kind of information session before the meeting or that evening or by email. There's a lot of excitement getting that connected as well.
And then the other thing the board talked about and actually passed on Tuesday night was a resolution condemning racism on campus.
Yeah, we, in particular, I think that this point was emphasized a little more by some conversation that that Damon and Barbara had at some events that, we had this past weekend. I was out of town, but, you know, highlighting the 110th anniversary of the NAACP and also just, you know, coming together around the service of Fred Battle. Just a lot of talk about, you know, civil rights and, well, we've come so far, we've got so far to go. And this, I guess, frustration of what seems to be kind of differing kind of, I guess, different reactions from UNC toward behavior of student, you know, activists versus, you know, people coming onto campus with guns and things. So kind of wanted to make that point known. I mean, Carrboro, well, Carolina is not in Carrboro. We certainly have lots of students, lots of staff, lots of faculty, lots of alumni. And it's, you know, it's something we felt was important to speak up about.
Yep. Speaking with Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle, townofcarrboro.org for more information. We've been talking about the board's meeting on Tuesday night, but you were also at the MPO meeting on Wednesday, right? And that was in downtown Durham in the morning when the explosion happened. What was the experience there?
Yes, I was. And it was, I guess it was about 10 o'clock or so. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, you know, we had elected officials from, you know, almost every jurisdiction, Orange and Durham, around the table. And, you know, we felt this really big kind of shake in the building and heard a big boom. And honestly, I thought something had happened upstairs because, you know, it sounded like something fell over or it was so... close to us. You just felt like, God, that had to be something really close. Like, what's going on outside? And we all just kind of looked around, and then, you know, nothing happened in the building. We continued on. And then, you know, a couple minutes later, of course, we heard, maybe even a minute later, maybe even less than a minute later, we heard the fire trucks and sirens and so on. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we, you know, everyone kind of started checking in a lot on Twitter to see what had happened. And, you know, and it occurred to me, because I remember when someone said, gosh, there's been a, you know, gas line burst, it's down near Brightleaf somewhere, well, immediately, Vernetta Alston and Charlie Reese, who are on Durham City Council, they both kind of jumped up and said, I got to go, and they left. Mm-hmm. And it did occur to me that, you know, if I had been in a meeting in Carrboro and some loud sound or something like that had happened, that, you know, I certainly would have jumped up and run out and wanted to know what was happening. It was really just absolutely horrific what happened. And it's really, really, it's really sad.
Yeah. Speaking again with Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle, as we wrap up, we've been talking about things happening this week, but some events upcoming, including the unveiling of the truth plaque on the name of the town that's coming up next week. And then this won't be happening for a little while, but takedown of a tree on or near the intersection of Weaver Street and Greensboro, and the town is kind of reaching out to get feedback from the residents in the community about what to do with the wood on that tree, right?
Yes, that tree is kind of a hallmark of, mm-hmm, I think, that corner. It's referred to as the Southern Centurion Post Oak Tree. I mean, it's one of the two trees there that are just really gorgeous, but the health and structural soundness has just deteriorated to the point that we have to remove it. That's planned for early May. And I know our town's EAB and the Apprentice Commission are actually looking on ways to recognize the meaning to the community in terms of considering, you know, how can this wood end up being, you know, reused, repurposed in a way to kind of mark the fact that it was such a beautiful tree in that location. And also we're going to be obviously replacing the tree with a new one to be planted on the property. But we really... we really want to get the word out again about that to folks, that it's going to be coming down. I think we asked for signage to be put up. There's actually going to be a QR code, I think, there if people want to learn more. But as with any event that happens in town, when it comes down, there will be those that are sad and don't even know what's happening or whatever. So we're really trying to let folks know about that.
That is kind of emblematic of the town, right? That we're going to be taking down one tree, but we have to get the word out about it and put up a QR code because people are really legitimately concerned about the tree canopy and preserving not just historic and well-known and beloved trees, but just trees in general and old trees in particular.
Yeah. And it was even as I just started to say that, I was almost said Market's Passing. I mean, it really is. It's like a part of the community.
Yeah,
and it is. I think, Aaron, you're right, because it's so visible. It's right there in the center of town, and it's provided shade, you know, over the years to many, many folks, for many, many years. And so I think it's appropriate that we mark that in some way, repurpose the wood, and then figure out another kind of tree that can go in there that, you know, can serve future generations.
Other things going on that people ought to know about?
I guess you mentioned the Truth Plaque mm-hmm. unveiling, which will be next Tuesday at, I believe, 5:30. The Truth Plaque Committee, I want to make this clear, too, to folks that we appointed a Truth Plaque Committee to kind of examine the wording and to come up with what they felt was appropriate for the community. And it was a coming together of lots of folks on this committee. It's a pretty big committee. Jackie Gist is our liaison. It's a reflection of our community, that statement that's being posted there. We didn't wordsmith it. You know, the mm-hmm. board didn't wordsmith it. The board may have come up with something different, but we felt it was important. And not to say what they came up with was, I think it's excellent. It's important to recognize that was a community effort. I think right now they're seeking exactly where it's going to be located on Town Hall. And then the work of that committee will continue. They have, in the stories and in the discussions about the history of the town, they've identified other places in town where they think it's important to tell stories. Mm-hmm. And so the work continues of that group, and there'll be more plaques around town kind of to continue that conversation. And I think that will be really enlightening to folks and also be very validating to folks.
Very cool. Again, townofcarborough.org for more information on town government. Mayor Lavelle, thank you so much.
Thank you.